God bless you for standing. You may be seated. It's always good to have family in town when you can just throw them right in the mix. We appreciate Tom and Steph Sanders. I know many of you remember Jody and Christy Wells that were here with us, I believe, year before last. And they attend the church he pastors there in Titusville, Florida, Pentecostals of Titusville. And Stephanie is his younger sister and therefore my cousin, Tom being my cousin by marriage. And so we're so thankful. They got two kids that are downstairs in Kids Power Hour, Savannah and Caden. And we just had a wonderful time. The only negative thing is that it's a real short visit. And Tom has family in Racine, Wisconsin, so they're leaving tomorrow to go to Racine and be there for the 4th with their family. But they were kind enough to stop in on Monday and spend some time with us. And so we're so thankful. Just we had an opportunity for a few years. I don't know, how many years are you guys in Fruitland Park with us? Two years. Brother Tom had a job transfer, was there in Fruitland Park with us at my father's church. And though I know it was the wilderness for them, it was a breath of fresh air for us. And we so enjoy not only them as family, but as friends. And we're just thankful that they've come. And I've asked Brother Tom if he would just greet everybody. I told him, I said, if you want to preach, man, just go ahead and take it off and, you know, just preach and we'll just have a good old time. So, Brother Tom, why don't you greet everybody? Here's a mic right here.
Praise the Lord. Well, thankfully, yeah, for you, I'm not a preacher. I'm not going to preach tonight. We have a fantastic preacher and Pastor Wells, and I'm thankful to be here, my wife and I. This is our first time, of course, visiting Brother and Sister Wells since they've been here in this church, in this town, and we are blessed to be here. And I tell you what, it's a beautiful church. I'm amazed by it. We don't see churches like this down by us. This is it's a beautiful church, a beautiful building, and, of course, beautiful people. We're still thankful to be here. We appreciate, of course, Nathan he mentioned before, he's not only my cousin, but we're also good friends. So it's for a great purpose. We're here. We enjoy hanging out, seeing everybody, letting our kids play together, and just terrorizing the house and everything else. And we came up here yesterday, and he said, "Well, let's go ahead and load up, and we'll go down to church." And I'm buckling in, and by the time I got my seatbelt buckled, we were here. Well, hey, we're already here. I had no idea we were so close, and I was just amazed by it. So wonderful. The kids were wondering even tonight, "We going all the way to church?" Like, "But brother, it's not a long trip. We're right down the street." So it is as fan. It's a beautiful town. We really are enjoying our time here. And like Pastor Wells said, we're leaving tomorrow, but I'm glad we were able to be here tonight. And didn't know we were gonna sing, but I tell you what, I was a lot of fun too. So I appreciate that. Praise God. Again, I'm not going to preach tonight. I look forward to hearing, you know, Brother Wells preach. It's been many years, so I'm looking forward to it. Pastor, thanks so much for having us here. God bless you, and God bless each of you. Thank you.
Many of you know we have coming up Sunday a very special time. I do want to remind you, Sunday morning, a very special treat, guest speaker in service with us, Brother Andrew Lucas, who is the youth pastor at Dallas First Church. There with Brother Tom Foster, also the nephew of Brother and Sister Day. And I called him and asked him if he would be willing to preach for us. He graciously accepted, and so we're looking forward to having him and serve, he and his wife in service with us on Sunday morning preaching for us. So we're going to have a grand time in the Lord at 10 a.m. regularly scheduled service, and then the party, picnic, whatever / firework celebration, you know, the event, if you will, happens at 5 p.m., and so we're asking each family to bring either a side dish or a dessert and a drink. And that way we will have enough food. The church is going to provide the hamburgers and hot dogs, and we'll provide all the plates and cups and napkins and utensils, all that good stuff. You may want to bring, if you're bringing a dish, you may want to put your name on that dish somehow. Maybe it was a masking tape or a marker, and on the utensil you bring for serving that. So please do that as well. If you're bringing a dish, bring a utensil to serve from that dish. and make sure it's marked so we know who it goes back to. Men, if you are able to, maybe carpool or get together or whatever, but if you're able to be here at, well, not here, at our house, because that's where the party's happening, at our house at about 4:30 to help set up. We've got to, our brother Tom and some of the young men in the youth group are going to take care of getting the tables and chairs too. My residence, but we're going to need to set up the tables, chairs, pull some grills over to where they need to be, make sure volleyball nets set up. Just it's not going to take that long. We just need all hands on deck, if you will, to make that happen. And so if you could be there at our house at 4:30, that will help us, and we'll get set up, and the party should be hopping by 5 o'clock. And then those of you that want to stay, the fireworks are happening usually right around dusk. As it gets dark, the fireworks start. I will tell you this, please bring mosquito spray. You are going to need it. My family can attest. They didn't know that there was mosquitoes like this. They knew, they live in Florida, so they know what mosquitoes are like in Florida. But the mosquitoes are, I think because of all the rain we've had, they are just, they are out in force. And so we will have some citronella candles and some things to try to alleviate some of that. But I would encourage you to bring your own personal supply of mosquito spray. You may want to bring a lawn chair. We'll have the metal chairs there from the church, but they're not all that comfortable, as you know. And so if you want a lawn chair or blankets, a lot of people will spread out blankets there on the berm to watch the fireworks. And if you want to bring your own fireworks, you can go down in the big retention area, and there's some that let off fireworks down there, and that's fine as well. We will have a bonfire out there, so if you want to bring s'mores, stuff to make s'mores, you can do that as well. So just going to have a lot of fun together. And please, I would ask you this, men, if you are there, before you leave, why don't you check with me and make sure, because what I don't want to have happen is that me turn around, everybody's gone, and then I'm picking it up all by myself. So we just need some help. We'll need make sure that the trash is getting emptied. We'll have some big 55-gallon drums there for the trash and all that other stuff. And you people are always very good to help. And so I know that it'll go very smooth. One other thing, there are back on the table. We've been announcing that the church is doing a fundraiser. We're selling some linens. And Brother and Sister Duell were able to make a contact with a wholesaler that wholesales to hotels and such. And so they have worked it out where she is selling to us at a reduced rate. We can turn around and sell and make a little money off the sale of the linens. There's bath sheets, or what we may call beach towels, really big towels. Then there are the regular size bath towels. There's hand towels. We don't have many sheets at this point in time, but this is kind of a trial run. We're going to see how well we do and how well it goes, and what kind of money we can make off of it. Obviously, we don't want to put a lot of work in and just get a little money, so we're going to see how it goes. But if you are interested, or you know somebody who's interested in getting some nice white linens, they all are white in color. There's some samples back there on the table, and you can look at those tonight. Brother Mike, you want to say something additionally? Okay. 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 Okay, so if you have questions concerning that and what you can do to help, also we are planning to, this coming Saturday, as many of you know, the City of Sandwich does a July 4th parade, and so we're setting up a booth outside to sell a little bit before and a little bit after that time. So if you're able to help him out in that, that would be great as well. So I think that's, not that we have taken enough time for announcements, but I think that's all we have for announcements at this point. I look forward to having everybody here on Sunday. But we're gonna take some time to go to the Lord in prayer. So if you have a need, I'll start on my left. If you have a need you'd like to mention to the church, and we'll take it to the Lord in prayer. Anybody? Brother Al? All right, certainly. Brother Al, his knee situation there in the DeBolt family, a loss of a loved one there. So certainly. Anybody else on my left? All right, I'm all right. Sister? My goodness, my goodness. And what's her name? Maria. Maria. I certainly remember her prayer. Also remember the Wallace family. We sent out a message earlier in the week that Brother Ryan's Aunt Bonnie has passed away, and so I believe they're having services on Saturday, you said. So let's remember the Wallace family in prayer there. Also continue to remember Ron Kreger. Any update on Ron, Dan, at this point in time? All right. Are they still saying there's no surgery necessary at this point? Okay. Goodness. It'll be a while in recovery for sure. All right, let's continue to remember Ron and Gregor. That's Brother Dan, Brother Tom's dad. Remember him in prayer. Brother Al. Certainly. Good, good. And I said this before, that the picnic is a great time to invite people that may not normally come to church. Just extend the invitation, say, hey, we're having this celebration. It's from 5 till dark. You can come, hang out. So I know that there's some from my wife's little mommy group that are planning to come. And so it's a great time to connect with people and get them here for things like that. So certainly. Brother Mike, I believe I saw your hand. All right. Sister D. Yes, certainly. All right. And little Ethan and Brother Bill are not feeling well. They're sick tonight as well. So I love it that I got to mention your husband before you did. Sister Caleb. Yes. All right. All right. Why don't we stand? Thank you, Jesus. Why don't we go to the Lord in prayer right now? Dear Jesus, we love you. We can thank you. Thank you that we can come to you. Cares and concerns of this life, God. Your prayer answering, God. Word tells us that we can come boldly into your throne room of grace in time of need, that we can make our petition and request known unto you, God. For those who need healing in their body, Lord, you're able to heal, to raise up, strengthen, God. God, for this lady by the name of Maria, God, ultimately, God, the healing of her soul, God, the saving of her soul, God, for Ron Kreger, God, recovery there from the motorcycle accident, Lord, we thank you that we can come to you, that we can believe and trust in your power to heal and to help, to save, God, to renew, God, we thank you, Jesus, we love you, God, we pray for our services on Sunday, God, Lord, that your hand would be upon every aspect of the service, God, use Brother Lucas in ministering into the body, God, those who would be here in service, God, let the time together in fellowship, God, let us make connections with people, God, connecting them to you, God, to this body of believers, Lord, we love you, we praise you, we thank you, God. We honor you, Jesus. You are so wonderful, God. You are so good. You are great and greatly to be praised. In your name that is above every name, in the only saving name of Jesus Christ, we have. Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you for standing. You may be seated. Last week we kind of launched out into a new study. Just something that, as many of you know, I've been somewhat preaching on, somewhat teaching upon. With recent events in our society, I just felt led of God that we need to revisit this. And it's not that we don't value some of these things that we're going to teach on, that we're going to talk about. But I think it's important that we express, not only in private meetings with one another, but in dialogue and conversation that we have concerning society, concerning what's going on in our world, but also in a public nature, that we talk about these things, that we discuss these things, that we, as a body of believers, we prepare for what we see is happening in our society. The devaluing of the church, the devaluing of religion as a whole, the way that we, and I say we in the sense of the society, the way that we as a society have taken time-tested values and virtues and things that have been long-standing in our society, and we have just discounted them. We've discredited them. We've taken things that have helped us become the great nation that we are, and those very foundations we are now almost systematically destroying and tearing apart. And so I wanted to launch out on a study. I called it The Value of Values, talking about that there is, we as a body of believers, we as a church have to find, and not just find, but ever increase in our lives the value of the values of the Word of God. What the Word of God values, we need to value. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What was important for society 50 years ago is still important for society today. Values that even in our day and age have been discredited, are being discounted. Those values we as the Church of the Living God need to stand for. We need to stand fast and say, no, those things do mean something. We do find value in there. There is worth in having a definition of marriage that is man and woman. There's value in understanding. There's value in looking into the Word of God and understanding that those principles and precepts, they are not archaic. They are not outdated. They are not for a different time. They are just as applicable today as they were yesterday and the day before. One of the values that we see that is being attacked from basically all sides in society is the value of the church. The value of the church, not long after the recent Supreme Court ruling that we've talked about, already the chatter started happening. Already Time posted an article that it's time for religious organizations to lose their tax-exempt status. Just like that. Shouldn't surprise us. When we see what's happening in the world, it shouldn't shock us that now there, you see, when you start to stand for things, when you start to make a line of separation and demarcation as we are not for what you're for. Matter of fact, we are against what you are for. Well, then we become, can I just say it this way? In a sense, we become an enemy of the state. And now we as religious organizations are going to be targeted. You say, oh man, that's all doom and gloom. Listen, we have got to start preparing for the inevitable. And the reality is, according to the Scripture, you and I understand, you and I read that we are headed to be, like never before, persecuted as the Church of the Living God. It's got to happen. It's going to happen. And so it's incumbent upon me as a minister of the gospel to stand up and say, okay, what they're going to devalue, what they're going to decredit, what they're going to say is not worth much anymore, I'm going to stand and say, oh, no. We value it. We find worth in it. We value the Church of the Living God. And not just the church in a holistic sense, certainly, but the church in an individual sense. We value this body of believers. We value our brothers and sisters, that together we stand forth, together we stand fast, together we draw the line and say, no, that's not something that's up for compromise. That's not something that's up for discussion. Those things are forever settled in the Word of God. And others can have dialogue, and they can have conversation, and they consider, and they can compromise. But as for us, we find value in the church. I want to draw your attention to a verse of Scripture. It's found in Ephesians 5. This verse of Scripture, in my mind, is one of the greatest reasons why this recent Supreme Court ruling is so detrimental to our society. Not just in a natural sense. The spiritual implications of what our society has now legalized. Catch this. What appointed, not elected individuals in our government, but what appointed individuals have decided should be legal in our country. What they have said is okay. When we understand what the Word of God says, when we understand that here in Ephesians, as we read through this, look at the picture that Paul painted concerning husband and wife. And look at what Paul uses as a parallel. He uses Christ and the church. Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify it and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it may be holy, should be holy and without blemish. Now, we're going to read a little further, but let me stop right here. The Apostle Paul is making the parallel. The Apostle Paul is putting pen to parchment here in his letter to the Ephesian church, and he's saying, listen, this is the example. This is the relationship in the role that you understand as individuals. This is a natural role. This is a natural relationship with husband and wives. But it is mirrored by, or it is in similitude to, the relation between Christ and the church. Catch it. Now, when a society says that the relationship between a man and a woman or a husband and a wife is really no difference between a relationship of a husband and a husband or a wife and a wife, do you realize what the fabric that they are tearing at? Do you realize what they are systematically dismantling? It is the role and relationship of Christ and the church. That's why, as I've stated before, and I'll say it again, what we are fighting for is something much bigger than the definition of marriage. What we are fighting for is something much bigger than same-sex union. What we are fighting for is the very revelation of the role of relationship between Christ and the church. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. No man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth it and cherisheth it, even as the Lord, the church. Again, he's making the parallel. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery. Catch this, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Apostle Paul is saying, listen, the picture, we understand spiritual things by seeing natural things. The invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seeing. How? Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead. So when we start putting up on the auction block of society those things that nature teaches us, those things that are from the very beginning, that are founded in the creation of the world. What did Adam say when Eve was made from his side? He said, she is now bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman. There was a union. There was a man and a woman. And when you understand the definition of the two, the understanding is that the woman is, if you will, the opposite of the man, but they complement one another, and in marriage they form a union. And it just nauseates me when I hear the term the same-sex union. There cannot be such a thing. It is impossible, according to the word of God, for there to be a same-sex union. Why? Because God did not create it that way. God created that it would be the union between a man and a woman, that they would complement each other. And so when we as a society now devalue that relationship, I said it last week, I'm going to say it again. The reality is, if we hadn't devalued the institution of marriage years ago, and divorce wouldn't be so easy now, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in now. But we devalued and we discredited that relationship, that man and woman union, that every preacher that I know of that would stand up said, what God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. When we devalue that relationship and we put that up on the auction block, it is no wonder we are in the state that we are in. And now our own society is allowing and legalizing what they are. Well, let's talk about, well, what is the church? If the picture is Christ in the church, and the picture of the union of a man and a woman is a type, is a shadow, it's in similitude of Christ in the church, well then, what is the church? What do we identify as the church? The English word church found in the New Testament is a translation of the Greek word ecclesia. which in a general sense can refer to any assembly of people. However, the way in which this term is used in the Bible refers to that group or assembly of people who belong to God being called out and separated through Jesus Christ. You see, the separation, the being called out, the being separate, the understanding that, that is the type of Christ and the church, that the church is the bride. Catch this. Christ, in the sense of what Paul is trying to say, Christ is the husband. The church is the bride. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Catch this. But the understanding is this, that in that picture and in that similitude of a man and a woman and their union, we find the role and relationship and the revelation of Christ's love for the church. And so when we jeopardize that, and when we as a society say it doesn't really matter, we can define marriage any way we want to define it. We are saying we are smarter than God. We know more than God. We're wiser than God. But what we're doing is we're defying the very creator of the union. And we worship and serve the creature more than the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. But then it is, wherefore shall God give them up to vile affections? Men with men working that which is and receiving in their error the recompense. Also, women burned in their lust one toward another. It's no wonder. It's already there. The Apostle Paul wrote about it back in Romans. He warned us. That's what happens. When you start serving the creature more than the creature becomes God. And when the creature becomes God, what God has to say doesn't matter. Because we have elevated as if we are more intelligent, as we, the creation, have somehow ascended above our Creator. That's why it's important that you and I value the church. We value what the church stands for. We value that the church still says, no, marriage is the union of a man and a woman. Let's talk about the local church, our local assembly. Including the facility of our gathering, it represents a piece of the whole. We understand when we talk about the church, and we may even refer to this church in particular, but this church is just a piece of the whole. It's a piece of the ecclesia. It's a piece of the called out ones. It is a part of the bride of Christ. We represent that female portion, if you will. We represent that part. Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. And guess what? Christ gave himself for us. Christ, in his love for us, gave himself for us. And so, in our reciprocal love to him, we should value what he values. We should value what he says is right. We should value what he, from the very beginning, determined. When we value the church and we value what the church stands for, we are in essence validating to some extent and valuing what Jesus Christ, what God loves. So we value the church. The most important institution in any community is a truth-proclaiming church. I'm going to say that again. The most important institution in any community is a truth-proclaiming church. A body of believers, a group of people that will represent the bride of Christ who will stand up and say, no, there are things that are not up for auction. There are things that are not up for compromise. There are values that we have that are not set upon the standards of society. They're not set upon what political parties may say. They are set upon what thus saith the word of God. And those values do not change. And we value the church.
We value truth. We value the called out ones. We value the fact that we are separate. We value, not in a condescending manner, not in a look down my nose at you because you don't see it like I see it, no, but in an understanding that we should all look into the perfect law of God. We should all look therein and be guided by its light, not our own intellect, not our own understanding. It leads to destruction, but guided by his word. Churches were at one time the focal point of a community. I challenge you. Sometime look at, find some photos of some very old churches, old English communities, and you will find that many times in those pictures it looks as though the church has sunk into the landscape. But what has actually happened is that year after year after year, many times people were buried in the perimeter of the church because they valued the church. They lived and they died for the church. But now when people relocate, they look to see how they are in relation to hospitals and schools and shopping and entertainment. You know me, I just say it like it is. It's amazing how some people can talk about being sold out for God, but they're willing to relocate and the job may move them somewhere, but they're not really worried about whether there's going to be a truth proclaiming church in the area. And I think to myself, you've got to value the church. You've got to understand the church is greater than some increase or some raise or some promotion you're going to get. Value the church. If God's going to relocate me, he's not going to relocate me somewhere where there, unless he's going to lead me to start a truth proclaiming church. He's not going to lead me and my family out where there's not going to be somebody support me and help me and find strength in the struggle. No, he's going to put me near a body of believers that understand like I understand and value the church and value the word of God. See, the reason why the church is so important, the reason why we should value the church, we should find great worth in the church, is because the church is the pillar and the support of truth. So how do you know that? Well, look at 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. These things I write unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of the truth. We'll say it again. There is nothing more important to a community than a truth proclaiming church. Nothing. Why? Because the church is the pillar, it's the ground, it's the support of truth. When all society would say otherwise, I would to God that we would understand the importance of a church to rise up and say, no, it doesn't matter what society says. It matters what thus saith the word of God. We believe what the word of God says. We stand for the values and the principles and the morals of the word of God. And that matters. That trumps everything else. That trumps every societal standard. That trumps every political speech. What thus saith the word of God matters the most. The value of a church, it's the pillar, it's the support of truth. It's a people, a body of believers that get together and say, we're going to link arm in arm. We're going to come together and not just for the natural things of society, but for the spiritual things of society. It matters what I do. It matters that I value the church. There is no church. Where does my family go to hear the truth? You ever thought about that? If there's no church, where does my family go to hear the truth? But you think about it in this sense. If the report is true and now they're going to come after churches as being tax-exempt religious organizations, do you realize then, if that happens, if they take churches out of the 501c3 category and we are no longer tax-exempt organization, do you realize that then any contribution to the church? Now, it's considered a contribution to a charitable organization. But if they take it off the list, guess what? Then those contributions no longer a tax advantage. Because see, the ultimate goal is not to take churches out of the category of a religious organization. The ultimate goal is to shut down churches
Because churches still stand for stuff. And things are being said across pulpit in churches that certain politicians don't agree with. And certain powers that would be don't want to hear. So the ultimate desire is not just to take us off the religious organization category. The ultimate goal is to shut them down. God, help me understand the value of the church. Where do we find strength for the struggle? Where do we find support and help we need? Let me just say this. I'm going to be as kind as I can. It's amazing to me how that people who, even though they don't come to church anymore, how a lot of times when they need something and they want something, they got to have something dependable. They got to have people who are dependable. Guess who they call? Church. Can the church people do this? Why? Because they know in the back of their mind, those are dependable people. And even though they don't find enough value in it to make themselves a part of it and support it themselves, guess what? They love trying to find ways to, man, I connect and get them to do this for me and get them. So I'll even sometimes pray upon their charity to get them to work for me or do this for me. And I'm not saying we shouldn't. Please understand, we got to be the church as well. I get that. But even those on the outside understand the value of the church to some extent. And if they can understand the value, we, that much more, who are part of it, who come in and invest our time and resources in the church, we better value the church. And not just my brothers and sisters, we need to value this because this church represents this body of believers. That's why as pastor, it does my heart good to see people up here and working and doing things around the house. It lets me know they value the church. It lets me know they value what happens here. I thought about this. If there's no church, then I got to be the Sunday school teacher, and I don't mind. I teach my kids at home too, but I'm thankful that they can come on a Sunday morning and they can go down to a Sunday school class and they can hear from another voice about the goodness of God. They can hear Bible stories in a little different way than maybe I have taught them, and they get a little different perspective. I'm glad that there's a church. I find value in the church. I find value in that. I know some timeless principles and precepts are being instilled in their heart and their mind. And I'm thankful that there's some place to come and they can be there with other kids and they can learn about God together. There's value in that. Church is also the body of Christ. Ephesians 1:22, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all and all. It's a song by a popular Christian band called Casting Crowns, and the title of the song is simply, We Are the Body. If we are the body, talks about his hands, why his feet, his mouth, and we are the body of Christ. We, as the church of the living, we are the body of Christ. I need to value that. I represent. I say it all. I'm Jesus to the world. I am the body of Christ, and I represent him in what I do and where I go and how I live and how I act. And I know it was cliche for a while, the whole they had in armbands and bracelets and all, what would Jesus do? But the reality is I need to ask that question many times. What would Jesus do? Because I am a representation. I am his body, and I need to value that. I need to value the reality that people all around me are looking at me. They're and I know they're scrutinizing me, and I know they're trying to find fault many times, and I know they're trying to pick me apart. So I get that, but I also want them to understand there is a desire inside. I may not be perfect. I may not do everything right all the time, but guess what? I'm going to do more right than I do wrong, and I'm going to endeavor with every fiber of my being to be a representation of Jesus Christ. I am his body. There is no church. Where do people see Christ in action? Where are people filled? There is no church. Where do we find revelation and understanding concerning spiritual things? It grieves me when people say, well, you don't really need a church. You can pray. Yes, you can pray. You can have a relationship with God. I encourage that. And if your relationship with God is just the church, you there's got to be some balance there. Yes, I am a part of the church, and I come together as a body of believers, and I get revelation and understanding. But there's also personal prayer time. There's also devotion. There's also a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. But guess what? That personal relationship is fortified, and it's supported, and it's helped, and it flourishes in an environment with brothers and sisters who believe the same, where we can bear one another's burdens, where we can lift up one another, where we can so fulfill the law of Christ by lifting you up as you lift me up. And together we stand the test of time and live for God. The value of the church. Excuse the analogy, but it's true. Our society is hell-bent on having the church and its values devalued. It's not going after what is right. It's not seeking righteousness. It's not seeking holiness. Society is hell-bent. They're headed there. The world, it's headed there. And its desire is to take what represents the union between God and the church and devalue it and discredit it. Take its worth, say it's not worth anything. And the reality is, it's happening. The reality is, even, quote unquote, and I use the term lightly, churches are trying to be user-friendly, are trying to be careful. I heard somebody the other day talking about I won't mention his name, but a popular preacher, and says, well, they talked about, well, has he addressed the whole Supreme Court ruling? And he said, well, you know, our pastor just really preaches love. He doesn't really deal with all that other stuff. He just preaches. His message is love. I thought to myself, you know what? The question has never been God's love towards us, and it never will be God's love towards us. The question has been and will always be our love to God. And his word says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If I don't make it and heaven is not my home, it's not going to be for a lack of love from God. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. And if I don't make heaven my home, it will not be for the lack of love from God. But oh, it certainly could be for my lack of love to God. I know it's not popular, but we can ill afford for this devaluing to work its way into our lives. We must increase the worth of the church by the example of its value in our lives. The church means so much to me. The church means so much to me. I value the church. I value what it represents. I value the body of believers that gather together. And though we don't always see it the same way, guess what? There are some things that are not up for discussion. And there are some values that in the Word of God that are spelled out. And there is no argument about them. And we can stand together sure-footed in those principles and say, we're not budging. We're not going away from this. Had somebody tell me not too long ago, you realize that if you continue to preach like that, they'll target pastors like you. And I said, listen, if God tells me, I've got to go back to the Word of God. Would I rather please men or would I rather please God? And I'm going to have to stand before him in judgment one day. And he's going to look at me and say, did you value the church? Did you value my bride enough to talk about holiness? Enough to talk about righteousness? Enough to talk about what's good and what's perfect? Thank you, Jesus. I'm gonna close with this. You can remain standing if you want. You see, I reveal how much I value the church by the sacrifice I'm willing to put into it. The more we value the church, the more we are willing to sacrifice to see it increase. The more I'm willing to put into it, the more I'm willing to sacrifice to say, the church, I believe it's so valuable. I believe it's such worth that it's got to increase. It can't die. It can't. Because as the church goes, if it is the bastion of truth, if it is the bulwark, if it is the defense of what is right and what is holy, if it falls, if it fades, if it rides off into the sunset, there is no hope. And so I'm going to do whatever I can. I'm going to sacrifice to see. So, oh man, he's going to start preaching about money. No. That's one of the ways, yes. It's one of the ways we value the church. By what we give to it. Our time, our talent, our treasure. How much are we willing to invest in it? I can tell you, there's some people that they may come, but they don't really value the church as they should. One of the ways I know is how they act in church. Oh man, I'm going to start meddling now. What do I do? If I can treat the church like any other place, come in, play on my phone, drink my pop, do whatever, it's just church. No, it's not. This is a place where eternities are forever altered. This is not just an office. This is not just another place. It's not just another building where we can come together and just have a... No, this is a spiritual house. This is the church of the living God. And if I can just come here and be like, oh, hum, is walking in any old time I want to. I know. I got the mic. I'm going to say it. No, I value the church. I value what it represents. I value that I'm not a distraction to anybody or that I'm not a stumbling block to anybody. I value the fact that somebody could be looking at me and I am the body of Christ and I represent Jesus and I represent what it means to be a part of First Apostolic Church of Sandwich. And I don't want to tarnish that. I don't want anybody to look at me and think ill of the church. I value the church. And I want them to know I value the church by what I do in the church. Oh, Jesus. If ever there was a day we need to stand up and say, oh, I value the church. I value what this place is. I value what goes on here. I value the lives that are here. I value the souls that are represented in this place. And I don't want to do anything in my life that would ever devalue or discredit. I don't want to do anything that would reduce the worth of what happens and what goes on here. Lord, I understand the church is the body of Christ. It is the pillar of truth. It's the foundation of what needs to be built upon, and Lord, help us to look at it and understand it for what it is and find its worth and be willing to sacrifice and do whatever we can do to see it increase, for we value the church. God bless you for being in service tonight. You're dismissed in Jesus' name.